As they make their way out, I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. Are we there? Proverbs 29. We're just going to read the first part of verse 18. And I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible this morning. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there's no vision, the people perish. And also, I want us to open to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know a lot of us know that verse of the Bible, like the back of our hands, but I just want us to have a look again at that verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Whatever version of the Bible you have is okay. It's the Word of God. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans of good and not of disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I want to share with you this morning on what I've titled, Motherhood, a Vision for the Task. A vision for the task. And I just like to start by recognizing the fact that, you know, we are at, the mothers here, we are at different stages of life. Some of us are new mothers. We have toddlers, we have babies. Some of us are expectant mothers. Some of us have one, some of us have two. Some of us, our quiver is just so full of them. We can't take any more. And some of us, we are just, our children have left home. We are already grandmothers. Some of us, our children have left home, they are in uni, or, you know, they are just, they've moved out of the house. Some of us, we have unbelieving kids. We have children who, maybe at one time of their lives, they've known the Lord. They've been part of a church, but they've just left. Some of us, some of our children have never known the Lord. And some of us are married to husbands that don't know the Lord. And you're kind of wondering, you know, how do I do this on my own? How do I help birth this destiny on my own? It can be hard. Hallelujah. It can be hard. But I want to tell you this morning that there's something that we need as mothers at any stage of life that we might be. There's something that we need. Whatsoever state of emotion that we're at right now, some of us are just overwhelmed, you know, with raising a child. Some of us are just so tired. Some of us are bored because we have to do the same thing again and again and again and again. Some of us are just at the verge of just giving up, you know, on that child. So no matter what you are feeling right now, no matter how heavy, you know, you feel, I just want us to look at something very important that will keep us going. On those dark days, on those days when it's just you alone, on those days when, you know, your children, you just found out that your children, you know, have been arrested somewhere, you know, a child that you left in another place, a child that you thought was in another place. You know, I want to share with you something very important that every mother should hold dear to their heart. Hallelujah. But before I just talk on that, I just want us to see, you know, I call the message a vision for the task. And I'm talking of the task of motherhood this morning. You know, I checked the dictionary for the meaning of motherhood, and it says it's the state or experience of having or raising a child. So, without children, you are not a mother, right? But also, sometimes we have, you know, physical, we have spiritual mothers. Hallelujah. But the task looks simple, but at the same time, very hard. When you look at Proverbs 22, verse 6, you know, which is one of the founding scripture of our kids' church, it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So our task is simple, but hard, right? And the task is train up that child. Hallelujah. nurture that child, love that child, comfort that child, encourage that child, teach that child, sympathize with that child if need be, protect that child with all you've got. But then, it's easy to just write down this list until you become a mother. It's much more than the physical things we do for them. There's this emotional attachment that we have. I think, you know, it's when we carry those children in our womb, they get everything from us. They get their nourishment. They get, I think from medical practice, I think it's only the blood of the child that is different from the mother. The blood never mix. Hallelujah. But every other thing that child, so there's that attachment, you know. And when the child comes out, that cord gets broken. But it's never broken in spiritually. Hallelujah. You still have that tie to that child. And when we talk about the task, you know, when we talk about this task of training our children, it's huge. It's a huge responsibility, you know. You go through different phases of their lives from when they are babies and you can't even sleep at night. You are so sleep deprived that, you know, people don't even recognize you again on the street. And then they move to another stage, you know, when you need to take them to school every day, when you need to be at their assemblies, when you need to be, you know, to be there for them. And then they move to the teenage years when they think you don't know anything. And then the whole task changes again. But the bottom line that I want to remind you of this morning is our task is to train up that child. And I just want to add this, you know, that some people mix that task together, some mothers. The Bible says that we should submit to our husbands. It says we should serve our husbands. But we try and mix that, you know, the task together. We are trying to train our husband to form into a mold that we want them to form to. And we are serving our children. All our world is revolving around our children. Whatever they say, we give it to them. Wherever they want to go, we take them there. So we are just reversing the role. We are training our husband and serving our children. But God is telling us this morning that the role should be train your child, serve your husband. Hallelujah. So the task we are talking about this morning is huge. It's huge. In the midst of all these physical needs of children, is also the spiritual. You want to teach them the Bible. You want to bring them to church. You want them to serve. You want to invite some, you know, some faith into them. You want to pass on the baton to that next generation. You know, recently our pastor was talking about, breaking the link, you know, in generational faith. We don't want there to be a break. We want our families, our children to keep on passing that baton of faith. Hallelujah. So the task is huge. But I tell you this morning, with God on our side, with God's help and grace, it can be easy. It can get easier by the day. So I said a vision for the task. We need to develop a vision for this new for this huge task of motherhood. And what do I mean by vision this morning? I look in the dictionary first, and it says vision is an experience. In fact, there are two definitions of vision. It says it's an experience of seeing someone or something in a dream or trance. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. The Bible says in the last days, the Lord will pour out the Spirit upon all flesh. You will see your children will see dreams and they will see visions. That's not what I'm talking about. The second definition says the faculty or state of being able to see. That's also vision. But I want to give you a simple definition this morning. Vision is a mental picture of a desired future. A mental picture of a desired future. Simple, isn't it? So my question to you this morning is, what do you desire? What do you see for your child? What do you see for that boy? What do you see for that girl? What do you see for yourself as a mother? You know, it's interesting that before we are mothers, we are first an individual. We are first women, right? And God has called us, to do different things as well, apart from that motherhood, right? And God, you know, has put so much in us as women. But we are talking about that role of motherhood this morning. What do you see? And when we talk about vision, there are like three categories of people, you know. Some people don't have any vision at all. They don't desire anything. It might surprise you, but it's true. They just take the day, you know, as it goes, whatever happens, you know. Some people think that if you don't expect something, you know, if you don't expect anything, so you won't be disappointed at the end of the day, right? So they just go through life and they just take whatever the life throws at them. Some have a vision. They have visions for their children, but they haven't refreshed that vision. You know, maybe their children have attained that vision. Maybe the vision, you know, a mother has for a child is, you know, to give his or her life to Christ. And that child has given a life to Christ. So what next? You need to refresh that vision. And some people have the vision, but they are not walking the vision. They are not doing anything about it. Or some, you know, have not seen the manifestation of what they desire for that child, and they are losing hope. Hallelujah. So let's just think about it. Why do we need vision for that task? And as we look at why we need vision for that task, I want us to learn from the women, visionary women from the Bible this morning. We've been learning from men for so long. I think we should learn from the women this morning. Hallelujah. Number one reason why you need a vision for the task. And before I go on, I'm not talking of manipulation, right? Some parents, some of us, you know, we already have, you know, an idea of what we want our children to be, right? For example, like my parents, when I was growing up, it's very common in my country, in my home country, right? That you already have, you want your child to be a doctor and that's it. It doesn't matter what that child wants to do. It doesn't matter what God has gifted that child to do. They don't care. You must be a doctor or you must be a lawyer. You know, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. So the number one reason why we need a vision is vision compels. Vision compels. And compel means, from the dictionary, to force or drive, especially a course of action. So compel. You are being compelled. You are being forced, you know, to do something. You are being driven. You know, something is giving you passion, you know, to do something. So, but my definition of compel this morning is that is making you to do what you ought to do. So vision makes you to do what you ought to do. You ought to wake up in the morning. The Bible talks about that, you know, that virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. That they rise up a great while, you know, to provide food for our children, you know. You want to wake up early, right? You want to take care of the house. But, you know, you're weak bodily, you know. You don't want to get up. You know, what brings you up of bed in the morning is vision. It compels you. When you think about that picture again, you just want to jump up from the bed and say, no, I must go on. Hallelujah. I want us to see the story of Jochebed. Jochebed is the mother of Aaron and Moses in the Bible. We're not going to be able to read the story, but I'm going to give you, you know, some verses to check when you get home. But we're just going to look at some of the key verses about this morning. But I'll give you a little background to what happened to Jochebed. Jochebed, as we all know, is an Israelite. She's from the tribe of the Levi, I think. She married, you know, she married another Israelite. She married another man of faith. Hallelujah. And this happened at the time when, you know, the story of Joseph. How many people remember the story of Joseph? When Joseph became prime minister and, you know, the Israelite, he brought all his family and to Egypt and they began to grow and multiply. And then suddenly, you know, Joseph died. The generation that knows Joseph died, you know. But the children of Israel kept increasing in number. And the Egyptians began to be afraid. They began to be afraid that these people are going to take this land from us if we are not careful. And that's when Jochebed married a husband. And then they had a child, they had a daughter, they had Aaron. And the Bible talks about the sister of Moses as well. And then the king of Egypt at that time said, no, we can't take this anymore. He went to the midwives that are taking delivery of the Hebrew women. And he says, why not kill these children as they're being born? And the Hebrew women said, no. Well, they let him go, and they didn't do that. And when that king of Egypt came to them, he said, why will you let these women still give birth to these children? I said, if it's a boy, kill them. Only leave the girls. And then the Hebrew women said, well, it's not our fault. These women, before they get to us, they already gave birth, you know. So it's not our fault. God gave them supernatural childbirth. Hallelujah. And then the king said, okay, this is what we are going to do. Every child that is born now, I'm going to send people to throw them into the river. All the sons are going to be thrown into the river. And that's when Jochebed gave birth to Moses. I just want us to open to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Verse 1. I'm just going to read verse 1 and 2. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when he saw that he was a beautiful child, he hid him 3 months. I check another translation. I'm like, can it just be because Moses is beautiful? Is it saying Aaron is not beautiful? Or, you know, when babies are born, they are beautiful. They are so cute, you want to just, you know, hug them and just cuddle them, you know. Babies are beautiful. So it should be much more than that, don't you think? So I checked another translation. I checked the Message translation. And the Message translation says, she saw there was something special about him and hid him. So what are we talking about this morning? She saw a vision. She saw something about that child that is different. And she said, no, this child cannot die. This child cannot die. No. And then he hid him for 3 months. I don't know how she did that. I don't know how you can hide a newborn for 3 months. What about the crying? That is a huge task she achieved. But I believe that is that vision that is compelling her. When that child is about to cry, covering his mouth, you know, I think it's that vision that this child is special. Nothing must happen to this child. I must protect this child. I must hide this child from the influence of the world. And then when she couldn't do that anymore, she put him in a basket, you know, made him comfortable, and just let him go. Just put him in the hands of God. Hallelujah. And don't forget, she put him in the Nile River. What about the crocodiles? In fact, it's believed that the basket she's put him is to protect him. Not, you know, there's no way the basket can prevent water from getting through, right? But she's put him in a basket to protect from the crocodiles. Hallelujah. And she just let that child go and committed that child to the hand of God, you know. And I must just say this, you know, before we leave this part, that sometimes we just need to let our children go. We don't hold them to them tightly that they can't step into their destinies. Hallelujah. We have to let them go. and just release them into the hands of the Lord. And that's what Jochebed did. And beautiful story. I love this story so much, you know. Pharaoh's daughter happened to be at the river at that same time. The baby just had to cry at that time when, you know, Pharaoh's daughter was passing, you know. And they saw that child and they said, okay. The sister happened to be there as well. And he says, Why did you ever think, why did Pharaoh's daughter ask Moses' sister to go and find an Hebrew woman? The Bible says, you know, her own mates were right there. Why can't she send them? It is God. It is God. It is God. And then they went to bring the mother, and the mother, you know, was given the child, and she got paid for doing it. Hallelujah. That's what we get when we have a vision. That's what we get when we commit that vision into God's hands about that child. Hallelujah. So those things that we look at that look so simple, so mundane, you know, it is vision that will compel you to keep doing it. It is vision that will compel you to go the extra mile. Hallelujah. It is vision that will give you that strength to go on. When you keep seeing that picture, there's something special about my child. There's something special about that girl. There's something special about that boy. I need to keep doing this. I won't give up. Hallelujah. The number two reason, vision propels. Propel means to cause to move forward or onward, or to hurt onward. So vision makes you continue to do what you are being resisted from doing. Vision makes you to continue to make right decisions for your children. You know, propel means, you know, it's already moving, and then to keep it moving. Let's open to 1 Samuel this morning. We're going to learn from another mother called Hannah. Hannah is the mother of Samuel. Samuel was a prophet, an outstanding and gifted prophet, the one who anointed, you know, the first two kings of Israel. He was the one that played a very pivotal part in turning the nation back to God in his time. Hannah was married too, but her husband had another wife. And to make matters worse, she doesn't have any children. She didn't have any children. And the other wife, you know, will mock her and taunt her. But you know what they did? They kept serving the Lord. The Bible says year after year, they went to the temple. Year after year, they trusted God. She prayed and prayed. But until she got a vision, nothing changed for her. And what is the vision she got that propelled her? Let's look at 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, verse 11. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Don't forget, she has been praying for a child. She has been saying, God, give me a child. God, give me a child. God, give me a son. I'm sure she will have gotten to a time when he said, God, just give me whatever, whether a son or daughter. I just want my own child. But then until she prayed this prayer, he says, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Then our situation changes. Hallelujah. The Bible says when Eli was a priest at the time, saw her praying her lips was moving, but nothing was coming out. And he says, oh, this woman must be drunk. How can you come to God's house drunk? And she said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm not drunk. It's because of what I've seen in my spirit. It's because of the vision of having a child that will serve the Lord all the rest of his life. A vision of a child being a priest. And Eli said, let it be unto you as you have asked. And she went away, you know, no longer sad. That is faith, right? She believed, right? But the first step was having a vision. Hallelujah. Number three reason. In fact, there's another story. We will get there later. Remember our brother Patrick shared last week about a certain woman in the Bible with the issue of blood. And that woman pressed. There was a crowd of people, and that woman pressed and touched the garment of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. In the face of opposition, the woman just pressed and said, no, if I can just touch the hem of that garment, I'll be made whole. Hallelujah. So is that vision? You know, she had that vision that if only I can just touch the hem of his garment. If only I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she kept moving. She kept moving forward. Not forgetting that picture in her head, right? And I don't know how she did it. Because when Jesus, you know, from accounts in the Bible, when Jesus goes somewhere, there's a multitude. Multitude. Think about thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So it can only be that vision, that picture in her mind that kept her going forward. Forward. Forward until she can touch that hem of the garment. Hallelujah. Number three reason. Vision gives hope. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that hope does not make ashamed. Hope does not disappoint. Vision gives hope. Let's look at the story of Mary in the Bible. Mary, the mother of Jesus. We all know the story. Every Christmas we talk about Mary. We can't talk about Jesus' birth without talking about Mary. So the angel came out of nowhere and appeared to her. This mighty woman of faith. The angel called her, and she was looking back at who are they referring to? Hallelujah. And he says, you're going to have a child, and this child will save, you know, will be great, will be a king, and he will save his people from their sins. I believe that is a vision, you know. He says, let it be unto me according to your word. All right? So that is another way we can get vision as well, you know. We can hear a word in our spirit, right? That can give you that picture. And she got that picture in her mind that, no, okay, let it be unto me according to that word. And it became a vision to her. Hallelujah. Let's just see Luke chapter 2. We're just going to say it briefly. Verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. The CV translation says, his mother kept on thinking about all that happened. She kept on thinking, you know, everything. When things happened, when they went to look for Jesus and they couldn't find him and they found him in the temple, you know, and it's like, this is it. This is it. She kept, I'm sure she kept reminding herself of the word of that angel, you know, that this is coming to pass right in front of my eyes. Hallelujah. It gave her hope, kept her going. Hallelujah. I want us to move fast this morning because I still have a few things to say. So how do we get a vision for the task? How do we get it? Number one way we can get a vision for the task is to open yourself up to God's word and let the word of God minister to you in that area of motherhood. Let's look for God's promises about our children. Let's meditate on them. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to shed that light in our hearts for that word. That it becomes living, it becomes tangible, and it becomes a picture in your mind for that child. Hallelujah. Let's just see a verse about that story of the woman with the issue of blood. You can read it in Luke chapter 8. It's actually in Luke, in Matthew, in Mark as well. But if you look at just the Luke version and verse 44, it says, are you there? Luke 8, 44. In fact, let's read 43 first. Now a woman having a flow of blood from 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. You know, another translation says, if I may touch, you know, she said to herself, if I may touch the border, the hem of his garment, the hem of his garment. And I listened to a preaching some time ago, and that preacher was talking about the hem being the word of God. And I'm like, how can the hem be the word of God? It doesn't make sense. But then I remember as I was preparing for this message, and I went to search the Bible, that where does it say that the hem of Jesus' garment is the word of God? I want you to see this morning in Numbers chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. Leviticus. Numbers chapter 15. And from verse 37, I want us to read it, please. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments. The hem of this garment is talking about the corners, right? So that's what they do. That's what they wear in those days. So they put tassels, right, on the corners of their garments throughout their generation. This was Old Testament, right? And we're talking about Jesus in the New Testament. But it must be throughout the generation. That's what they do. They keep passing on, you know. They keep passing on all this commandment. They keep passing on to the next generation. All the Lord has been doing, they keep passing it on. And that's why we have it as well. So they do it through their generation, and to put a blue thread in the tassel of the corners. 39. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may follow the hallow tree to which your own heart and your eyes are inclined. And that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. Hallelujah. He says, I want you to put, you know, tassels on the corners of your garment so that you can remember my word, so that you can remember my commandments. And I believe that's why that woman went to grab the hem of Jesus' garment and says, no, I'm holding on to this word. And that's what I want us to do for our children this morning. Hold on to God's promises for your children. Let it become part of you, that it becomes something that you see. Hallelujah. It's not all our children that will stand behind the pulpit and minister, right? But wherever they find themselves, in their workplaces, you know, we should have a picture of them standing up for God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about God's promises. There are several promises of God in the Bible. The Bible says in Isaiah 54 verse 13, you can write it down if you want and just add more. There's so many. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Another one says, I hand and the children that the Lord has given to me are for signs and for wonders. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2 says, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Isaiah 65, 23 says, they shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants after them. And for salvation, it says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household, including your children. Isaiah 8:18 is the one I quoted before. I and my children are for signs and for wonders. I can go on and on and on. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are a gift and a blessing from the Lord. See these children as a blessing. Hallelujah. Take hold of that word. When they begin to show, you know, signs of not being one, start confessing that word over them. Don't just resign to faith. Keep confessing it. Take hold of it. Remind God of it until it becomes a picture. Until it becomes what you see when that child walks into the room. Hallelujah. So, number one, open up yourself to God's word to get a vision. Get that living word and stand of that promises daily. Number two, spend time with God. Habakkuk chapter 2. I want us to see quickly. I love reading God's word. And whenever I have the opportunity to stand to preach, I don't want you to just hear my words. I want you to see it in the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. I will stand and watch. That is talking about prayer. I want to hear what God will say to me. That is talking about spending time with God. And I just want to say that, you know, there's no time of our children's life when we can't get a vision for them. Whether they are married, whether they have a baby, it doesn't matter. Whether they don't live in your house anymore, it doesn't matter. I don't know whether you remember the story of the Zebedee's mothers, the mother that had James and John. James and John are two of the disciples of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Two children from the same mother being part of that chosen 12. It's amazing. That tells you, you know, who that mother is. Hallelujah. Must be a woman of faith. Hallelujah. We don't even know her name in the Bible. It just says Zebedee's, the mother of the sons of Zebedee's. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter. Nobody, you know, might know your name. But God sees. God sees. Hallelujah. So even if they are grown, look at what this woman did in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 20, you don't have to open to it. You can check it later. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 23, talks about that woman going to Jesus. Imagine, these children are already blessed. They are disciples of Jesus, both of them. What else is she looking for? I mean, some people will call her greedy, eh? You know? But she refreshed that vision. Hallelujah. And she went to Jesus and said, can you please allow these children, even after enjoying your blessing here on earth, to just sit down, one at your right hand and one at your left? What about the other 12, the other 10? You know, even the Bible says that the other disciples, when they heard that, they're like, what is wrong with this woman? They were jealous. That how can you allow that? Jesus, you can't. You know, but what am I getting at this morning? You know, that woman still had another vision. She wants to see her children in heaven. Not only to see them in heaven, but to see them occupying, you know, choice positions. Hallelujah. But this can only come in the place of prayer. When we wait on God. When we wait on God. When we spend time with Him. You know, the best time you can give to yourself this Mother's Day, you know, is an alone time with God. We mothers, we long to be alone because you are so surrounded with so much chaos and you just want to take a nap. You know, I think that's going to be my Mother's Day present this afternoon. I'll take a nap and it will feel like a million gifts. Hallelujah. But the best gift you can give to yourself as a mother is just to relax in God's presence. Put on some music. Just think about God's promises. Just, you know, it's in the multitude of doing this that vision comes. Hallelujah. I'm telling you from experience. It's something I've done. Hallelujah. Just try it. You know, maybe where there is school, you've got just some minutes, you've got 30 minutes. Stay in a room, put on some worship music. Even don't pray sometimes. Just lie there and just think about God's goodness. You know, you'll be amazed at what will come to you. You'll be amazed at what you will think about. Hallelujah. So not only spend time in the Word, getting hold of a living Word, not only spending time with God, but number three, which is the last one, is to engage with visionary women. We cannot do this on our own, mothers. We are challenged when we see others doing what we are doing and doing it well. We shouldn't be jealous. Hallelujah. You know, some people don't like women. You know, I used to not like women until, you know, I had to serve in church. You know, and I get to know that, you know, some women are not just what you think they are, looking afar. You know, we need to just move close to people. Feel what they feel. But I'm not just talking about women this morning. I'm talking about women of vision, women of faith. Get to spend time with them. You catch, vision is transferable. Hallelujah. And I just want us to look at two women this morning. Number one is Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the wife of Zechariah just before the angel went to Mary. Elizabeth was a woman of faith. In Luke chapter 1, verse 6, he says they were righteous people, she and her husband. You know, usually the Bible will say the husband was a faithful man. They won't talk about the woman. But it says both of them were faithful. They were righteous. They keep the commandments of the Lord. Hallelujah. But they don't have any child. And an angel appeared to her husband, Zechariah. There was no account that she was there. You know, like the wife of Abraham was nearby when the angel appeared to her, you know, and she laughed. There was no account that she was there, you know. But I believe, you know, the angel told Zechariah that, okay, you're going to have a child, you know. And this child, this is going to happen. It's going to be great. It's going to proclaim the way of the Lord. And, you know, Zechariah was thinking, we are old. We are very old. You know, even I don't think my wife can have any child anymore, you know. And the angel said, you know, because you didn't believe, you shall remain mute. You won't be able to talk until this child is born. So I'm sure he must have called his wife, Zechariah, and just said, okay, this is what the angel said, and maybe written it down. Because when they wanted to name John the Baptist, they gave birth to John the Baptist. When they wanted to name him, that was when he was able to speak, after writing down his name, that his name shall be John. But he must have called his wife and told him, right? And the woman believed. Hallelujah. That tells me that vision is transferable, right? She caught that vision from the husband. Hallelujah. She caught that vision from the husband. So when you move with people, the Bible says if you walk with the wise, you'll be wise. And Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We sharpen each other. Hallelujah. And the story of Mary. Mary went. In fact, I think we should see that quickly. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39. The Bible says in verse 36, now indeed, Elizabeth, that was the angel talking to Mary. Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. She was a relative. And what did Mary do? Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. She went with what? With haste. To a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias. She went to meet Elizabeth. She went to spend time with her. Verse 56 says, and Mary remained with her about 3 months before she returned to her house. She just went to spend time. She heard about, you know, what the Lord did for her. And it's similar to our situation, right? The angel just appeared and told that couple that they're going to have a child. The angel appeared to her as well, right? She must have gone there to learn something. Hallelujah. She must have gone there to get encouraged. She must have gone there to get uplifted, to just go and see that this is possible. Hallelujah. And that's what Mary did. And that's what I believe we should do as well as mothers this morning. And Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5 says that the older women must admonish the younger women to love their husband and to love their children. So our loving our children, our husband needs, we need to be taught how to do it. Hallelujah. And the Bible says it's the older women who can do that for us. Hallelujah. So, spend time in God's word. Not just spend time, receive that living word to get a vision. Spend time with God to get a vision. Engage with visionary women to get a vision. And in conclusion this morning, I want us to look at that Habakkuk again. If you don't mind, I'm just going to shoot this time by just 5-10 minutes, if you don't mind. I know we all have lunches and whatnot to get to. But I just want us to have a quick look at Habakkuk again this morning. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, "Write the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that it may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Hallelujah. Motherhood will look different for all of us. And there's no one way to do it. Our spouses, our children have different needs. Our homes are different. When you get to another home, you're like, is this the way you do your own thing? You have dinner at 5 o'clock? You know, I was speaking to someone in church, I can't remember, and he said they get their kids to bed at 5 or 6 o'clock. I'm like, how in the world do you do that? Mine don't want to sleep until like 11. You know? Our households are different. Our needs are different. Motherhood is different for all of us. But one thing is clear. One thing is, you know, binds us together. We need to have a vision for this task. Hallelujah. And that vision is what's going to keep us going. You know, I mentioned at the beginning that some of us have unbelieving husbands. I would just want to encourage you this morning. You can do it. The Bible talks about a mom called Eunice. And a grandmother called Louise. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul was writing about Timothy. Timothy is one of the great leaders of the early church. He did wonders, you know, in the early church, you know. And Paul was writing and saying, I've seen a faith in you that was first in your grandmother, Louise, and now in your mother, and in your mother, Eunice, and now in you. Hallelujah. But if you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 1, it says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra when he found a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman and a Greek father. So Timothy had a Greek believing mother. A believing Jewish mother and a Greek father. That points us to the fact that that man was not a Christian. Hallelujah. Doesn't know the Lord. But that woman brought that child up to be a great leader of the church. Hallelujah. You can do it, mothers. You can do it. And I just want us to receive grace this morning. The Bible says that without him, we can do nothing. We can do absolutely nothing. And that Habakkuk says that we write the vision and make it plain so that he may run who reads it. We need to walk that vision. We need to write it down. We need to write it down. We need to use symbols, you know, on your fridge, magnets, you know. You don't have to make it clear that everybody will see. But maybe there's a picture you want to put there that when you walk past, you see it. Maybe it's in your bathroom mirror. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. But keep it in the front of you. That's what the Bible is saying here. And then walk it. Do all you can and leave the rest to God like Jochebed. Hallelujah. And most importantly, you know, let's receive help from God daily. The Bible says in Psalm 127, I believe, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Mothers, Our help comes from the Lord. The vision is futuristic. The promise, the plans that he has for us, for our children, are plans of good to give them, to give us a hope and a future. You know, if you already have it, it's not a promise anymore, right? So if that child is not yet there, just keep looking forward to that promise. Hallelujah. The vision is futuristic, is lifelong, so keep refreshing it. There should never be a time when you don't have a desired future for that child. That should always be your prayer point. It amazes me when some people say they don't have a prayer point as mothers. You do. Your children might be, you know, in the forefront of the faith, most doing well and being the best in school. But you still have a vision that you pray about daily. Hallelujah. Walk the vision. Give it everything you've got and let that vision get you out of bed in the morning. Hallelujah. Faithful is he who has called. The Bible says, who also would do it. I just want you to rise on your feet this morning as we pray for our mothers.